Well, another first-time winner on the PGA Tour. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka. So proud to be here with Mr. STL Golf Geek himself, Jay Randolph Jr. Hey, thanks for joining in the Grow Room with Bob and Jay. Well, the fall schedule on the PGA Tour almost feels like a spring schedule as players, Jay, are in preparation for the Masters in 3 weeks. It sounds crazy, but it's true.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, when you look at the two events in Vegas, and then this week, you know, in Thousand Oaks, at Sherwood, it is. This is prep. I mean, this is our indication, or at least perceived indication of who's primed and who's looking good as we get ready for the final major of 2020, the unique Masters in November.
And I just want to mention, make sure you listen towards the end of today's show. You'll have available to you some wise betting words from Mr. Jay Randolph Jr., and nobody does it any better than him. Let's begin today's show with the CJ Cup at Shadow Creek. Jason Kokrak wins for the first time on the PGA Tour at minus 20. I'll talk to Jay about Jason right after we hear what Kokrak had to say.
Very excited. I couldn't be more pleased to get my first win nonetheless here in Vegas. You know, part of the MGM crew and the rest of my sponsors, obviously. But, you know, a pretty special win, 10 years out here on the PGA Tour. Been a long career so far, so to wait so long for my first win, it's a pretty special thing. I think any time that you've been out here for that length of time, you definitely have doubts in your mind. But as good as my ball striking is, and you know, as hard as I've been working with my coach Drew Steckel, little short game work with Jeff Pierce, my caddy David Robinson also helps me with my putting. He obviously reads about every one of my putts, but you know, I think between the team I've got in place, you know, it was inevitable that it was going to happen. I just tried to go out there today, hit a lot of fairways, give myself a lot of opportunities, and just let that first win come to me. You know, I've played quite a few rounds here at Shadow Creek, so I know the greens pretty well. I know kind of the little intricacies to this place, but it is definitely a place that I feel comfortable at. You know, I've played 20, 25 rounds here before. I knew it was going to play a little bit different, but you know, if you hit a lot of fairways on this golf course, it's you can attack this place. But ever since, I want to say, you know, a few months ago, I went to a 36-inch putter just to kind of stand a little bit taller, get the putter more in the palm of my hands. And ever since that happened, you know, I got one that I feel great with Bettinardi, and we've dialed it in and started rolling it pretty nicely the last month or two.
I would think, Jay, the average golfer that listens to us, you know, really probably starting to get very confused. Sometimes we're talking about a 48-inch driver for Bryson and now a 36-inch putter. I mean, all these things that probably help a player at the highest level. I don't know about guys that show up at your golf course, Gateway National, if changing the length of their putter is going to really help.
No, it wouldn't. A little more time around a green with whatever putter or whatever wand they wanted to use would be the best advice I could give them. I mean, this has so many little caveats to it. As he said in the presser, part of the MGM ambassador team, there might have been two or three guys that had played the golf course more than him. He really kind of punched it on Sunday. I mean, he put the pedal to the metal and took advantage of what he was doing, and his putting was fantastic. And Bob, it continues the trend that I mentioned to you last week. And, you know, the U.S. Open is a PGA Tour event, but it's not run by the PGA Tour or set up by the PGA Tour. The last four events conducted by the PGA Tour have had Stuart Sink, Sergio, Martin Laird, and Jason Kokrak win. And it's certainly defying that trend of young players. In fact, it's the first time that three players 35 years or older have won three consecutive events since 2019.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting when you look at it from that lens, Jay. What's fascinating also is this was his 233rd career start before he got his first victory. But if you slide the needle slightly to the right and you see money earned in those 233 starts, you'll see the number $15 million. So he wasn't winning out there, but he was having plenty of money to spend at the MGM Grand.
Well, and Bob, you and I have seen a lot of players that get on tour, have a couple of good years, and then for whatever reason, either they enjoy the success that they've had or they're having a family or whatever it may be, lose a little bit of that game and fall off the tour and then go back to the Corn Ferry Tour or wherever. This guy has been consistent. And he's been close to getting through, but this just worked out perfect for him in Vegas, and big win for him. You know, Xander Schauffele. You know, you're judged on W's. I don't know. It's his eighth career runner-up on tour in his 98th start. It's his third consecutive top five, but he didn't get it done.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how he kind of resides near the top of that leaderboard. But you got to be careful because, the more times that you get a sniff at it and don't bring it home, it just makes it harder to get that next W. So Xander Schauffele certainly has all the talent in the world. The thing that he has to guard against, as I said, Jay, is losing confidence in being able to close the deal.
And then you wonder about Tyrrell Hatton, who you and I talked about last week after the huge win at the BMW PGA Championship, flying across the world to come play, in Vegas. And this dude, he got over it pretty quick, but, he closed strong, and he finishes tied for third with Russell Henley, who really struggled on the final day to finish tied for third with Hatton.
Yeah, Tyrrell Hatton, there's something special about him. I can't quite put my finger on it, but it is exhausting. Of course, he didn't fly in any seat that I would have used on that airplane. I mean, I think he was considerably closer to the captain than I'm used to. But still, it's a long flight when you go from Europe to the States and then out to Vegas. I think it was 22 hours, he said, from the time he left his front door till he opened his hotel room door. That's a pretty good day of travel.
I hope to tell you that can take a lot out of you. I mean, there's no question about it, no matter how you travel. Some guys that you start thinking about as we get closer to Augusta, a young player like Victor Hovland ties for 12th with Matthew Fitzpatrick at 800. Justin Thomas, he was defending. He's trying to get longer, Bob, because that's the trend. In fact, I saw Hal Sutton, the 1982 PGA Championship winner, tweeting that, he learned to hit the golf ball straight, but now he'd learned to hit the golf ball hard before he learned to hit it straight. And that kind of wowed me. Talks a little bit about the change maybe in our game at the high level. But JT finished tied for 12th, and so did Morikawa. John Rahm tied for 17th. And what'd you think about Brooks? First start since the Wyndham Championship. He tied for 28th, had a couple of good rounds, did not play well in the final round. Wonder where he'll be come Augusta.
Yeah, that's a great question, Jay. I mean, you would think a healthy Brooks Koepka would be one of the, players that you certainly worth a wager on to win at Augusta. But we never know. You know, I mean, return from injury, you got to be, it's tough enough to beat these guys out there. If you're not 100% physically in shape, it's even tougher to win.
Well, and you know it affects upstairs. I mean, and then that affects what you're doing. So it's a tough situation, no doubt about that. You know, Jason Day, man, you know, it just continues. He had to withdraw during the final round. I mean, he goes into the final round, tied for six, got a chance to maybe make a run on a Sunday, and has to withdraw, Bob, during the final round due to a neck injury.
I would think over the last 5 or 6 years, Jason Day has been adversely affected by physical problems, probably to a greater extent than almost anybody out there.
Anybody other than looking back at Tiger when Tiger couldn't play, you're right. I mean, because this has been an ongoing thing. He's tried to play through it. I think he's tried to take time off. I think it's just one of those things. And at times it seems like the neck then becomes the back and then the lower back. And it's just been, you know, it just really seems to be adding up on him. Well, I'll tell you one guy who's healthy and getting healthier, and that's Phil Mickelson. I mean, the Dominion Energy Charity at the Country Club of Virginia. Hi, I'm Phil Mickelson. I'm playing in my second PGA Tour Champions event. I bomb it, and Bob, he's 2 for 2 now.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, and let's give a listen to it, Lefty.
It certainly is pressure for me because the expectation is to win. So if I win, well, I'm supposed to. And if I don't, oh, my goodness, what happens? So certainly there's pressure, but it's more self-imposed, and I want to play well. And I'm appreciative of the opportunity to play in this event and to compete. It's very enticing playing in these events, as much fun as I'm having. And obviously playing well, and I've won twice. So, yeah, I'm going to have fun. But, like, we went 36 yesterday. But we had a cart. Like, that's cool. I mean, I love it. And I got done with the day, and I didn't feel just wiped out. Like, I felt like I could come back today and play well, even though we had just played 36. So the feel of, like, how the course is set up and accommodating the player so you're not trying to, like, wear them out. Like, I just think all the little details are very well done. I've really developed an appreciation for this tour. But I still get a lot of fulfillment when I'm able to compete on the regular tour. So it's been a year and a half since I've won on the regular tour. In Memphis, I finished second, and I love that feeling of having a chance. And so I'm hopeful that this tour, this tournament, will help give me a little bit of momentum. I'm going to go back to L.A. and play at Sherwood next week and try to compete against those guys. And it's not going to be easy, but I'm going to give it a try, and I'm going in with a little bit of confidence now.
Boy, I am so delighted to hear Phil Mickelson saying he really appreciates this tour. He's played two events, made $750,000, and he rode in a golf cart to do that. But he's appreciative of the Champions Tour.
To be Phil. I mean, you have to believe that the powers that be at the television networks and the Golf Channel have thrown big offers his way if he wants to go into broadcasting. He's played in two events on the Champions Tour and won both. And he's feeling good, as he should, heading out to L.A. and playing at Sherwood against the big boys. So, you know, I thought about it the other day when he got the second win. You realize that since this man now, Phil Mickelson, has been about 11 years old, he's probably been one of the top five players in the world at the level he's played at. And now clearly he's number one at the senior level. He was clearly number one at the junior level, at the amateur and collegiate level, and was on his way to being one before Mr. Wood said, "Hello, world."
Yeah, absolutely. You can only speculate. But Phil Mickelson's career if you take Tiger Woods out of the picture, and I know that's pure fantasy, but, you know, and that also, I would say the same thing, Jay, I don't know if you agree with me, but maybe to a lesser extent, Ernie Els and Sergio Garcia.
Well, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. I mean, you know, I remember Phil was winning his fourth event of the year. At Akron in what then was still the World Series of golf, when you were out in Oregon at Pumpkin Ridge and people were turning the television away from Phil and watching Tiger and Steve Scott in that battle out there that, you know, was an iconic moment in the game.
Somebody, well, Ernie Els, he's leading the Champions Tour with $1,319,000. Good to see him playing well.
He needs the money. That's good.
And Bernhard Langer, you know, his time clock got stuck about 10 years ago. He's the same age he was 10 years ago. I don't know how he pulls it off. But he's got $1.2 million. And you know, good to see former Masters champion Mike Weir, because he really lost his game for quite a while, but seems to have gotten it back right now. And I like seeing him play so well. He's getting his confidence back. In 2020, what? He's played in three events, three top 10 finishes, including a second last week. Not too shabby for a lefty from Canada.
No, good for him. Nice to see that. Really good guy, the former Masters champion from Canada, Mike Weir. And I will say this about Mickelson. You can't deny it. People are talking more about the Champions Tour in his two victories than they have in a long, long time. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what direction Phil goes the next 6 months to a year. We know the next direction is California, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But first, we're going to let you hear about Gateway National, and then we'll preview the Zozo Championship being played on Tiger's Playground out there at Sherwood Country Club.
Enjoy golf as it was meant to be played at Gateway National Golf Links, a stunning links-style course in the St. Louis area. After all, it is the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and it's the only one with bent grass fairways. Only public course in the region with bent grass fairways. Gateway National offers golfers the rare opportunity to return to the rich traditions of the game with rolling links in the heart of the country. Gentle mounds and plenty of tall grasses, spacious fairways, and of course, when you play number three, well, you just aim for the Gateway Arch. That's right. The iconic St. Louis Arch is right there. Gateway National Golf Links, the number one public golf course in St. Louis and the only one with bent grass, with a friendly staff to make your day a memorable one, to make your tee time the best way and the best rates are online at GatewayNational.com. Gateway National, always in great shape. And remember that website, GatewayNational.com. That's where you'll find the best rates, GatewayNational.com.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. Great to have you with us as golf is still in the spotlight as we move closer and closer to the Masters. Tell a friend to tune in. We love having more listeners and more people talking golf with us. And you can find us on social media really easy. On Twitter, Bob is there, Bob Bubka, Bob Bubka VOG, the VOG for Voice of Golf. Give him a follow. You can follow me as well, STL Golf Geek. STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Well, Bob, the Zozo Championship supposed to be in the Far East. Of course, with the COVID situation not happening, they choose to go to Sherwood, California, or Thousand Oaks, excuse me, Sherwood Country Club in beautiful Thousand Oaks, California. 78 players set to tee it up.
Yeah, pretty amazing. It really is a packed field. And I did a double take, Jay, when I read that Matt Kuchar is the first alternate. I mean, that had to be a shock to his system. Just incredible. And amazingly enough, 7-star players needed a sponsor's exemption just to get into this Zozo Field. The likes of Tommy Fleetwood and Ricky Fowler, and Phil Mickelson in on a sponsor's exemption. So, and Jordan Spieth, can you believe that? And the all-time capper is Tiger Woods is in on a sponsor's exemption. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, it's unique. You know, they wouldn't have this field or this good a field if they were in the Far East. If things were normal, trust me. But because of the scheduling, and as Bob talked about in our first segment, as this prelude to Augusta that a lot of these guys are in, you've got this type of field. You also have, I want to say, 8 players from the Japan Tour that are exempt into the event and that are actually playing. I mean, guys, and the reason I found out was because I was looking at values on DraftKings. So, you know, I see these guys' names that I never heard of, and clearly they give exemptions there. But, Bob, this is a really strong field, as you said, when Matt Kuchar is the first alternate is sitting there on the range.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Tell you what we can do now for our listeners. Let's listen in on Tiger's thoughts on defending his Zozo title and on the Masters.
Well, first off, the fact that we were able to have this championship, it was a big thing for the tour and a big bonus for all of us to be able to have this opportunity. It's awesome for us to be able to come back here to Sherwood. It's a golf course that I know well, and I've had my term in here for a number of years. I think that having it here and having Zozo come to America and to have it come to this venue in particular is fantastic for all of us. Well, yeah, I have played well here over the years, and let's just say that the field's a lot bigger than normally when I had played here. No, I only had to beat 11 other guys. So that's very different. This golf course, I need to get another look at it tomorrow on the front nine, because the greens are definitely different than last time we played here. So, you know, hopefully everything comes together, you know, starting from Thursday, and have a great week. Well, this golf course is typical Jack. You know, it's pretty open in the fairways, but the second shots are very difficult, and you have to miss the golf ball in the correct spots. And, you know, over the years, my iron game has been one of the stable parts of my game. And normally, Nicklaus golf courses reward good iron play. And over the course of my entire career, I've won on a lot of Nicklaus golf courses, I think, because of that. This entire year has been different for all of us. And my run-up to Augusta is unlike anything I've ever experienced. And so that's just the way it is. The whole idea is to be ready in a few weeks. And whether or not that's playing one more event, whether that's Houston or just playing here at Zozo, just making sure that I'm ready for Augusta. I have played there in November, and the few times that I have played in November, it's been the same. It's been cold. ball doesn't go very far, and I've normally done it for some of the changes. You know, the big change they made in what 2002, because it's called, I guess it would be the fall of 2001. We went up there, and it was, you know, driver three wood into one. You know, 18 was a driver three wood. You know, it's so different. If you're able to get the north wind like that time of year, it can be awfully difficult and long, and very different than when we normally play in April. It's not normally the configuration of events. We're not in a Florida swing. This is all different. This whole year has been different for all of us. And the fact that the Masters is being held in November, it's unprecedented, never been done before. And so, you know, I can't simulate the normal ramp up that I normally have, and I don't think anyone else can either. So it'll be different for all of us. And the fact that we have no spectators, it's going to be very different for, you know, optically, you know, for a lot of us. And it'll be like how we normally play practice rounds there when we kind of go up there.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what Tiger does leading up to the Masters, and this will probably be it. So, Bob, you know, he is still the defending champion at the Masters, and, you know, I think we're all hoping that he can find a spark.
Yeah, it could be rather amazing. It's pretty amazing even just saying that he's defending champion this week. He's going to be defending champion when we get to the Masters. It wasn't too long ago, yeah, if you said something like that. They'd be picking you up and hauling you away in a straitjacket. Other players that I'm going to be interested to watch, and I know you will, you touted this guy before almost anybody in the country, and that's John Rahm. And he certainly has the game to do well down at Augusta. We'll see what he does at Sherwood. Tony Finau, back from COVID. He's embroiled in quite a mess, apparently, with his management company. They're suing him for $16 million, and then he gets the virus. Tony's a great talent, a great, great ambassador for the game, father of five children, but he's having a lot of trouble getting it over the line.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he plays this week and obviously at Augusta, where he has shown success before. Bob talked about Tyrrell Hatton, moved up one place in the world rankings. He's now number 9. Victor Hovland, you know, how will he do as he continues his journey as a tour winner? Morikawa, the same being said, except even at a higher level as a major championship winner. And when asked if he'd been to Augusta, Bob, in preparation for the Masters, he said, no, I haven't made a trip, and I won't. I'll kind of show up on Sunday and kind of go to the course from there. That's just been the way I've done everything. It's not like I've gone out to any course and tried to figure it out before, whether it was a major or whatever. Well, that's his approach. That may change after this year.
You know, I was pretty surprised. Some comments from Rory McIlroy, who had some... you know, not the nicest things to say about Bryson DeChambeau and all his distance off the tee. But now, apparently, Rory McIlroy has had a change of philosophy, and he's taking steps to try and improve his swing speed to gain more distance. I mean, I find that a shocker. What about you, Jay?
No, I don't find it a shocker. I'm starting to firmly believe that the Bryson effect is happening. I think it's happening at the junior level. I think the competitive senior players are trying to get stronger. I mean, I think it's you know, because of the results and because of where maybe we're headed. I mean, we'll have to see at the Masters. I mean, if he hits a drive 375 yards at the Masters, I don't know what to do. I mean, I just, you know, with the new driver. So we'll see. I'm sure it's, you know, it's going to be a unique time because he is such a lightning rod. Do you know what I mean? And I've talked about my frustration with him, but have admitted that the frustration I have with Bryson is that I don't understand it because I you know, it wasn't the game that I played. But it may be the game that I follow from here on out.
Well, just a little tip to our In the Grow Room listeners that are maybe preparing to jump on Bryson DeChambeau when we do get to Augusta. His yardage, I mean, his greens book is completely different. I mean, he has more facts and figures in his greens book than all the rest of the players put together. However, Augusta National said, oh, no, none of those books here. You'll get the standard greens book that's used at Augusta, which has very limited information on it. but enough to perform. So it's going to be a little bit of a curveball for Bryson DeChambeau. And if you're sitting at that computer ready to plunk down your wager, you may want to keep that in mind.
Good point, Bob. No doubt about it. I'm looking forward to this week. Looking forward to seeing Sherwood. It's been a while since the best players in the world have been out there. Tiger's event used to be there before it moved to the Bahamas.
All right, Jay, with golf betting now in the forefront these days, it's time to see who Jay Randolph Jr. has picked on his team this week.
I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, this is either hit or miss. I mean, this isn't going to be one of those weeks where, ooh, I'm close to cashing. I'm either going to be in the dough or, it won't matter watching on Sunday except to see who wins the tournament because I won't win anything. I took Rory McIlroy. I took Patrick Cantlay. I took Daniel Berger. I took Gary Woodland. I took Danny Lee, and I took Phil Mickelson. And again, I'm fading some of the big names because the dollars are so high on them. You can get burned trying to do that, and I may get burned, but to keep Berger and Rory in your mind, Bob.
Well, you heard it right from the man in the know. You'll either want to call him up and take him out to dinner or boot him to the curb. We'll have that answer for you next week. Hey, the Houston Open, they just announced a new title sponsor, Vivian, and that's going to be the week of November 2nd. It's going to be played for the first time at the newly renovated public golf course in the middle of Houston, Memorial Park. What a long history. It's had great players there. Jimmy DeMeritt played there. Jackie Burke and so many more. And by the way, Jay, they're going to have a limited number of spectators, around 2,000 per day.
That's great. Houston is such a great golf town. It was really worrisome when it looked like the event may go away. This is fantastic. I mean, you say the names Jimmy DeMeritt and Jackie Burke, and it's like an instant smile comes to my face. It's like when you say the little pro Eddie Marins. I mean, you just start smiling. You mentioned that Dustin Johnson's going to make his return as well as Bryson DeChambeau. So, that's great for the Houston Open. That's awesome. And then it won't be too long and Houston will have the ladies, the women's U.S. Open.
Yeah, that's coming up in December. It's going to be $109 for your ticket, but don't worry. We're going to give you a grab and go lunch to, offset that $109 price tag. So is it a bargain, $109 for a ticket and lunch? You'll have to make that decision.
Not much better than a free lunch, Bob, that's for sure. Dustin Johnson will make his return as well as Bryson DeChambeau. So that's great for the Houston Open. It's fantastic. Not as good a news for the Hero World Challenge. You figured this was coming. I mentioned Tiger's event that used to be at Sherwood, but moved to the Bahamas. It has been canceled, Bob, due to the coronavirus concerns.
Well, we'll be back again next week, as usual, to see who won and to see if Tiger could successfully defend his Zozo Championship title.